Hey, I'm Tom Fisher of bourbonblog.com. This past week, a new show started airing on Travel Channel that really caught my attention. It's called Burgerland. It's all about burgers across the country. I'm all about a good burger to go with my bourbon, so I invited the host of Burgerland, George Motes, to talk to us here on bourbonblog.com. He's joining me live now from Brooklyn. I mean, how many people aren't a big fan of burgers, right? There's a lot of burger fans.
There's some vegetarians out there, but even some of the vegetarians, they're fans.
There's only been a couple episodes that have hit the air so far. How many have actually been shown?
We have, I think Travel Channel has shown two episodes so far, the L.A. Hollywood episode and the Miami Frita episode.
Are you going to be covering burgers that are burgers rather than just beef? Are you going to do some veggie burgers, some crab burgers, some...
No, to me, a hamburger is... A hamburger should be defined as something that's made from a cow, ground up, cooked somehow, put on some kind of bread, and served to you. If you start getting into veggie burgers, and this, you're not talking about hamburgers. They're not hamburgers anymore. I don't know what those are.
All right, I love it.
You know, so of course, a crab cake is not a crab burger. It's a crab cake, right? And then when you start putting things into the meat, you end up with meatloaf.
You're all about the real burger. How'd this whole show come about? You had a book. I downloaded your app today. Been playing around on that. You're a burger expert. How'd you get the show on Travel Channel?
It's been a long time coming. About 10 years ago, I was looking for a documentary subject, something fun to shoot. My wife recommended choose some kind of food item. And we looked around, and someone had already done the hot dog documentary, so I decided, hey, let's do a hamburger documentary. And that was it. I wasn't an expert. I was looking for stories about people. But after all these years, after eating, I've literally eaten more hamburgers in more places than you have, officially, which I can safely say. We estimated that probably over the last 12 years, I've eaten close to 10,000 burgers.
10,000 burgers. In fact, you're going to a burger event after this interview, right?
That's right. Yeah.
What kind of event are you going to?
Well, I'm an auction item. I was auctioned off at a benefit in Brooklyn. And I'm going to a party where I'm making burgers for 10 people.
You know burgers so well, you've become an auction item. That's really...
Exactly. For good causes, right?
So 10,000 burgers in about 12 years, you're having them at least a couple times a week, right? Maybe daily?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in some cases, if I'm doing research for the book or for the show, I'm eating upwards of 17 to 20 burgers a week.
Oh, wow.
And some of them are small. They're not all huge, half-pound, one-pound behemoths. But in most cases, I will eat, if I'm doing research, I'll be eating about 20 a week. When I'm not doing anything, I'm down to about a burger a week, which is, that's normal.
Wow. Now, are you just eating the burgers, or are you cooking some of these too then?
No, I don't cook a whole lot of burgers. I mean, to me, I've always said, you want to get a great burger? Don't come to me. You got to go to the people who know what they're talking about, and they've been making burgers for 100 years. So I don't make a whole lot of burgers at home.
But for this auction, you're going to be cooking the burgers.
Yeah, I mean, there's one burger that I do make, which is very simple, and I call it the original, it is the primary source hamburger in America, which is, it's a burger that is small, it's only about 2 or 3 ounces, it's basically a slider, and it's smashed on a flat top with a little bit of onions on a white squishy bun, and that's it.
So you just really keep it simple on that one.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of places in the country that make a burger that way still. They've been doing that, for 80, 90, 100 years. And to me, that is the primary source burger in America. The original burger wasn't some big half-pound thing with, tomatoes and lettuce, all that kind of stuff on it. Not at all. I mean, the people who made burgers in America to begin with, they were making very small burgers with what they had. They had no refrigeration, so all they could keep on hand were pickles, onions, and mustard. That was it.
That was the original burger.
Yeah, I mean, White Castle popularized it in the 20s. And everybody sort of fell in behind them. It took with Bob's Big Boy and McDonald's and all the big guys to start introducing things like ketchup and lettuce.
Is there a definitive place that actually you can say definitely invented the burger then?
That's a good question. There are many places that lay claim, or there are many claims, I should say, to the burger. Many of them don't even have places anymore. And some of the best claims they were never in existence to begin with. They were actual transient stands at county fairs and state fairs. And people said, yeah, that guy, he used to be at the fair. Well, all those places, they never existed beyond a few years. But the one restaurant in America that actually, what I like to consider they are, the longest continually operating hamburger restaurant in America is a place called Louie's Lunch in New Haven. And they're also one of the original claims and probably one of the strongest.
And they claim they invented it when?
They claim they invented it in 1900. And there are a few that were, that claimed a few years before that. There's one in Texas, there's one in Ohio, there's one in Wisconsin, St. Louis, blah, blah, blah.
You're similar, a little, kind of similar to mine. I did a documentary on bourbon about 8 years ago or so, and
I
really
love bourbon.
Yeah, well, that's good. I was going to say, I mean, bourbon and burgers, they go pretty well together, don't they? What do you
think? Oh yeah.
Any good stories you have on that?
Well, that I can remember. No, no, I think bourbon is it's a great American drink. You know, in the same way that the same way that the hamburger. Is a great American invention. I really believe that bourbon, even though it has its roots in Scotch, I think the bourbon is really, it's one of the great American drinks for sure. I love it.
I'm sure you enjoy a beer and a burger too.
I do. I do.
Do you have like a favorite like combo, like either a cocktail or a alcoholic beverage pairing with a burger? Is there a favorite one you have?
Oh yeah, no question about it. It's the old fashioned. To me, there's nothing better than an old fashioned. I drink them a lot. Old fashioned and a burger, great combination.
Is there a particular way you make your old fashions? Or,
Yes, actually, I what I do, I use a shaker. I don't stir; I shake, and I usually use decent bourbon. But my big thing is that I use a little bit of bitters. I have a special smoked bitters that I use. So it's smoked bitters for the sugar element. I use a little bit of sugar in the raw liquid, mm-hmm. which is incredible. And
that
then just an orange rind, and that's it.
Whose smoked bitters do you use, or do you make your own?
It's a really good one.
Okay.
I'm going to my bar to actually get it to show you. Here we go. Here it is. It is. Oh, Fee Brothers. Yeah, Fee Brothers Whiskey Barrel Aged Bitters. Unbelievable.
The sugar in the raw syrup. What are your? Do you have any proportions? Because we definitely want to lay out the recipe on the
Yeah, I mean, if I were proportions, I'd use just a few drops of the sugar in the raw.
Right.
Two shakes of the bitters.
Yeah.
One orange peel. There's a little bit of orange left in it. Squeeze it. Take the rim. And I usually, I never actually measure my. You can whatever you think is a normal measurement for the bourbon side of it, which is pretty much the bulk
just
of what I'm drinking.
Just eyeball it, right?
Okay. Yeah, good eyeball. Whatever. And it's just a matter of taste at that point. You know, some of my favorites. I mean, I love Evan Williams. I love Jim Beam Black. Big fan of Jim Beam Black.
That's a great cocktail. I agree.
Yeah, but I think probably the best thing to put in an old-fashioned is a rye, either a Pictor's or a Bullet Rye. Bullet Rye is a great, great, great drink as well.
I love all those you're talking about. You always see burger and fries, right? I mean, you do see burgers paired with chips occasionally, nachos some places. Why has it historically been burgers and fries? Why do we always see that?
That's a great question. There's a great historical answer to it as well. During the Depression, especially during the war that followed the Depression, obviously, there was meat rationing. And a lot of restaurants could not get their hands on enough meat. So they would say, hey, can I offer you one burger and a pile of fries? And that's how it started. And everybody just assumed that, hey, I got to order a burger. I'm going to order fries to go with it. So that then the fries remained.
It's a great compliment. Is there a favorite kind of fry that you think goes just really well with your classic burger?
I'm a big fan of waffle fries.
Yeah.
love waffle fries.
I
waffle fries are, other than that, I think most fries, unfortunately, are a big letdown. So I actually don't eat a whole lot of fries because they usually are. Like 99% of the time, it's a huge letdown. Once in a while, there'll be a great place out there that's, they're cutting their own potatoes, they're blanching them, they're doing it the right way, and then I'll eat those. But outside of that, I usually stay away from fries.
So you just head for the burger and just keep it right on that.
I always say to people, hey, if you're looking, you're watching your weight, burger and fries, just cut the fries out, and there go the calories. Or better, even better, replace replace your fries with another burger.
Burgerland's going to take us all over the country. We've already been on a few locations. Are there any locations you can tease forward to and tell us we're going to be seeing?
We did this whole first season pretty much in the southern states.
Right.
We've got Houston coming up, New Orleans. We did an episode just on northern Mississippi because there's so many historical hamburger spots in northern Mississippi. We did a Tennessee episode with Memphis and Nashville. There's a lot going on. Chicago. We did went to Chicago for a few burgers and also Connecticut.
In New Orleans, did you get to Port of Call?
We did. It's on the show. What a great place.
I used to live in New Orleans, and I get there a couple times a year. I love Port of Call. I think it's simple, but it's amazing, right?
And the great thing about being there on the show is I didn't have to wait online. Actually, it was my first thought. So we were going up to the place and said, oh my goodness, this is probably the first time I've been here. I don't have to wait online.
Is this part of the reason why you started the show, is so you could get right in the best burger joints and right
well,
first in line?
And the funny thing is that about halfway through the filming of the show, I said, wow, this is incredible. You know, this the network is paying me to fly on their dime all over America to eat hamburgers at the camera, which, you know, it's a great perk. The great thing about this show is that I literally get to go back and meet all of my, you know, re-meet and say hello to all my hamburger heroes.
Was the show something that you sought out, something that just kind of came into being? How did this...
Well, you know, we made the book, made the film. The film did really well. It became a little bit of a cult favorite. It aired on the Sundance Channel for about a year and a half, and people sort of picked up on the hamburger was much more than just something you put in your mouth for sustenance. It was actually, there's a lot of stories and people behind this burger. And that to me was that people started to lock into that, and then someone came to me and said, hey, I think you should make a TV show out of this. I think you've got something pretty solid here. And that was it. And we sold it to the network. They loved it. And the rest is history.
Well, as I watch what you do, George, I mean, you know, traveling the country, I mean, obviously we do a lot in Kentucky and a lot in the South. But, you know, more and more as craft distilleries are popping up all across the nation. Of course, you're based in...
I live in Brooklyn, yeah.
Okay, in Brooklyn, you know, we have the Hudson Bourbon.
It's great bourbon.
They do a great job. And love the distillery, love the guys. And you know they do there's a bourbon now in Breckenridge, and the more I traveling, I watch your show, even a couple episodes, I'm like, I think a burger tells a story in a really true American fashion, much like a whiskey does. The very first time I watched it, I was like, this is somewhat of what I have been doing the last few years, traveling around, you know, listening to these great American stories. I'm really thrilled about the show because I think it really appeals to something that so many of us can relate to in America.
It's true. It's a smarter show than most because we're actually not just talking about, you know, what's on the burger. We're talking about, you know, what goes into making it and who's behind it. I think that's as interesting as the burger, you know, the burger history itself. And really, really great stories about family and tradition. And a lot of these restaurants amazingly have actually picked up and moved. Some of them physically have like moved down the block. And, you know, there's a reason for that. Because people want to make sure these things stick around. It's part of their past, and they're intensely proud of it.
Can't thank you enough for doing an interview here with us on bourbonblog.com just as your show is starting, because I think it's always cool to see where a show goes after a season, after several seasons. I think you have enough burger stories in America alone just to keep it rolling for a long time. And George, having said that, what is it that you hope to communicate? Where do you want to put the viewer whenever you are showing off the burgers and the stories?
I just want to make sure that they realize that the hamburger is not just one kind of hamburger. That there are regional differences all over America, and those differences are because of the people that make them. And that's the one thing I want to get across, is that there really isn't just one kind of hamburger, and the reason is because those burgers are made by people. Burgers don't make themselves. They're made by people, and people have souls, and they make these burgers the way they want to make them. Some of them have been making the same way for 100 years, and there's a reason for that, because they're excellent.
That's awesome. Craziest ingredient you've ever seen in a burger? Is there like one story you have that's... What would that be?
Well, a bunch, but one of the weirdest ones I saw, which I thought wasn't going to work, and it completely worked, it's a place in Butte, Montana called Matt's Place. They take salted, like, Sunday nuts, like peanuts, like crushed nuts, and they mix it with sweet Miracle Whip, and they put that on top of the burger. That's good. I looked really weird, and I said, okay, I'm now stepping out here, and it was really, really good.
That sounds really interesting. When people ask you, you know, how do I make the perfect burger, what do you suggest to them?
Fresh ground beef is number one. I always tell people that, you know, you really should be on a first-name basis with your butcher. You know, really get to know where your meat comes from. Don't just go buy anything. You know, make sure you know that it's been ground right away. If you're going to be cooking burgers, you know, don't go to the butcher the day before. Go the day of, you know, and go pick up your meat. It'll just taste that much better. You know, never go frozen. Never even if you freeze your own meat, you end up destroying the meat. So you're much better off with a fresh product. And then at that point, you just take your imagination wherever you want. I also tell people that, you know, sometimes people imagine that, you know, going out in your grill in the backyard, you know, on the weekend is the easiest way to make a burger. It's the absolute hardest way to make a burger. You can overcook and undercook your burger pretty easily. The best way to make a burger, I do this all the time, is I take a skillet and I put it on the actual grill. So I'm cooking something else on the grill, like chickens or whatever. I'll actually put a flat top onto the actual grill and cook the burgers in that instead of on the flame. Keep those juices intact, you know?
During recessions or times when the economy is not going so well, burgers historically have been what people have gone to. Is that true in your research?
Oh, definitely. Well, it's not because they're eating them because they want to. They're actually being served them. People don't realize that when you go to a restaurant, you know, more restaurants actually put burgers on the menu, or more burger restaurants pop up because of a recession. And it's because people know that it's been identified as the sort of the poor man's steak. You can have all the sensations of eating a steak by spending a lot less and holding it in your hand.
Right. And, of course, nowadays, as we're looking at, you know, burgers becoming more popular, you know, even in Midwest America, you know, burgers, you see burgers on the menu very easily for $10, $15 a piece. It almost seems like America has put more of a value on the burger, and people are willing to pay more for them.
They definitely are, because, well, now people are understanding where their food comes from and where some of the ingredients for the food comes from. And there's a difference between, you know, they're actually learning a difference between grass-fed or, you know, all natural, or, you know, they know these things now, and you do end up paying a premium for, you know, stuff that you're, when you start to dig around, you are starting to pay a premium for this stuff.
Well, I think the stories you're telling are awesome. The way you're doing it's great. I think it's just such an American thing, and, you know, much like we do with bourbon, you know, I raise a toast to your burgers. You can, I guess, do you ever toast with burgers? Do you have a way of toasting with the burger yourself, like raising a toast?
Yeah, we do. We usually cheers when we're eating them together. It just clink, a little soft clink. Yeah.
You click the first. Are you planning on getting to Kentucky anytime?
Oh yeah, definitely. Absolutely. There's some great burger spots there.
Yeah, yeah. We have a new place in Louisville called Mussels and Burgers that's just opened up.
Oh, excellent.
The two specialties are mussels and burgers, of course, but there's so much more to George Motes, the host of Burgerland, now on Travel Channel. I've been looking at your bio here. You're a writer. You're a filmmaker. You've done so much. So we just talked burgers this time, but definitely log on to georgemotes.com. George, thanks so much for being with us here in your inaugural few weeks of Burgerland on Travel Channel.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Cheers, George.
You too. Bye.